is. Amen. Christmas 2025. Can you believe this year is almost over? This has been, no doubt, I would say the fastest year in my life. I mean, I've only been here 46 years, you know that. But I mean, it has just traveled so quickly. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so, you know, I was thinking the other day about Christmas and children and so forth. Don't you just love children? I love children. I love watching the kids in the video. And you know, the thing about children is that, you know, young children, now when you get to be a teenager, you're weird. But when you're, you know, young children, I'm joking. But, you know, they're always in awe of everything. They're always, I mean, it's like, the wonder. They can look at a flower for, you know, 30 minutes or something, and we just mow right over it. We don't care, you know? And it's amazing because, you know, they have the adventure of just living life, and they enjoy it. Do you still do that? You know, I was thinking, you know, Friday, I think it was Friday night, I don't remember what it was, but Willa came, my granddaughter, and spent the night, or not spent the night, but visited us. It felt like spending the night. But anyway... And so, you know, I learned this new song, and for about 4 hours I put up with it, you know. I mean, you learn, and they're mesmerized by this song. It's that song, you know, Baby Shark, do, 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 do. Oh, yeah. Listen, I had never heard that in my life, never want to hear it again, but, I mean, I couldn't even sleep that night. I mean, it was those sharks, you know, Grandpa Shark, Grandma Shark, and anyway, I don't even want to get into that. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm still like a kid, in some ways, not many, but in a few. I love Texas. I'm a true Texan. 5 generations of us. But there's something that I love about Texas, and that is the Texas sunrise and the Texas sunset. They always do something for me. They mesmerize me. I'm still in awe and wonder over that. Do you understand? You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19:4, it talks about the sun. God says, oh, I've set the tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices. The sun rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and then its circuit goes over to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Boy, it's a true word. If you know anything about Texas, and if you're on 820 and you're traveling west and it is evening, you see right that gigantic ball in the sky. Man, listen, there's nothing like it. But here's the deal. You ever think to yourself, and this is what I see every time, that here I am, I'm driving on 820, and all of a sudden I realize I'm on this tiny speck of dust in this universe that we call planet Earth. And there, out there, 93 million miles away, is the sun, which is the only star in our universe here, in our little galaxy. Do you understand that? It's so gigantic. It's the largest object in our galaxy, loved one. And it's the center of everything. The gravitational pull of the sun holds everything together, just like Jesus. Did you know that? And there we are. And you know what? If it disappeared, everything on life would cease to exist. That's how important the sun is. It's just hanging there. And it always, I'm in awe and wonder every time I see it. And I always thank God for it. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, I pray that you haven't lost, as an older person, an adult, the awe and the wonder of the true Christmas, not the world's Christmas, but the true Christmas, meaning the night that Jesus was born. You know, we have read the Christmas stories in the gospel so many times. We've heard so many sermons that sometimes it just, instead of going back into our heart, it kind of goes over our head. But when you think about Joseph and Mary and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels in the field, all of those things, loved one, listen, did they have Matthew or Luke's gospel, the Christmas stories? No. They actually, they lived it. And think about, be Joseph for a moment. How would you like Mary to come up to you that you're betrothed to? Okay, you're not married yet, but it's like being married. They have not consummated their marriage. And here this little 14-year-old girl comes up to you and says, honey, listen, I want you to try to explain something to you. I am pregnant, but I have never been with a man. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever had anybody that happen to you? And then you say, I am pregnant and I'm carrying the Son of God. I am carrying the Savior of the world. I am carrying the Messiah. That's what the angel told me. I'm going to tell you something. That tells me one thing about Joseph. He had to be a man of incredible faith. Amen? Come on, think about that. I mean, you have to be in awe and wonder over that. And what did Joseph do? Of course, he did what? Well, you know, what he did was unbelievable because he trusted God when I'm sure it didn't really make sense to him. Does that make sense? Yeah. What a great man of faith. And you be Mary for a moment. You have an angel tell you all that the things are going to happen to you, and he's going to be the king forever over Israel, and his reign will have no end. He'll reign forever and ever and ever. He will be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. I mean, for a little 14-year-old teenage girl, and that to happen to, listen, you gotta say, man, there is a woman who trusted the promises of God. Amen? Remember what she said in Luke 1:38? The angel, she looked at the angel and said, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, everything you just said, I believe. Now, that is a woman of great faith. You know what I've learned is this: whom God chooses, he uses. He uses for the great adventure of following our Lord. Now, with all that being said, in 4 days, we're going to celebrate the birth that changed the world. Amen? And it's one thing, the world kind of knows, okay, Christ came. But the majority of the world, they don't really know why he came. They just know that he came. But may I say to you that night in Bethlehem was actually the greatest, most significant night in the entire history of mankind. That's the night the light of the world, the true light of the world, was born. Amen? John 1:14 says this, and the Word became, and Jesus is the Word, by the way, okay? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He pitched his tent, tabernacled among us, if you will. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Jesus has always been, amen? So the Word became flesh. Now, not a new form, but a new existence, meaning God became man, okay? Flesh. He became the God-man, fully God and fully man. Now, that's called the incarnation. Now, as I set up the sermon for all of us this morning, before I continue, I have to make sure you understand where I'm going. Is that okay? Okay, because if you don't, then Santa Claus is not going to deliver one thing to your house, but... I'm joking. Never mind. What I want to do is remove a very, very common error among so many Christians, okay? And I want to remove a common error, and let me tell you where it's at. It's in our main lobby, all right? Now, the error was not intentional. It's not anyone's fault. It's just the way it is today. It's found everywhere. You get in your car, you look at the Christmas decorations in homes outside, you'll see it. You'll also maybe go by churches, you'll see it. Not only that, you'll receive Christmas cards, or maybe you send Christmas cards, and you'll see it there too. But there's an error, okay? And I want to clear that error up this morning before I get into my message. And if you go over to the main lobby after the service, you will look and you'll go, oh, that's the error that Bill is talking about. And you know what it is? It's the manger scene, okay? You know where the manger is back there? Have you ever been to the main lobby? Well, if you haven't, you need to go check it out. And you say, well, Bill, where is the error? Well, when you go back there, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but you're going to see something. You're going to see the shepherds. You're going to see the Magi or the wise men. You're going to see baby Jesus. You're going to see Mary and Joseph. You're going to see the sheep and the shepherd and the bag over his, and all the, and animals and angels, all of it. But the problem with that is that, well, you've grown up with that and you make it one event. It's not one event. You see, it is actually two events, two different times. That's why I'm going to go into Luke's gospel, and we're going to be in Matthew's gospel this morning, and so forth. Let me just say something about the main lobby. You know, it's kind of a dangerous place. I mean, not only do you have the error of the manger, but then you've got the pagan tree in the corner. And and I'm getting older, and if I'm not here, I'm afraid you guys will probably have somebody in a red suit back there for Christmas. And I hope that you don't do that. Amen? So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and then we'll go into Matthew's gospel. But let's begin in Luke chapter 2 on the Christmas stories. Very simple. You know them well, but please follow along. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree, or an imperial order, if you will, went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world, meaning the Roman Empire, should be registered. Now, this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So when it says in those days, it means the days of Caesar. Octavius, he was only 19 years old when he became Caesar Augustus. And the Roman Senate, by the way, they're the ones that gave him the name Augustus, exalted one, or God, or whatnot. Rome literally called Augustus Caesar the savior of the world. But what Caesar didn't realize, that the savior of the world was about to be born. Amen? And so the greatest thing he ever did was to call a census. He thinks that he did it, but he really didn't do it. And he had no idea that night or that day that he decreed that it was going to lead to a change in the world that the world has never, never seen. So the purpose of the census was not only to collect taxes, it was everyone had to return to their ancestral home. Now, with all of that being said, that meant that Joseph and Mary had to go to the place where their ancestors began, and that was at the city of David, of course, and that was in Bethlehem. So here goes Mary. She's in her 9 month of pregnancy, and she's traveling, 80 miles or whatever it is. And then Joseph, verse 4, also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, meaning King David, and registered with Mary. Now, Mary was of the lineage of King David too. Both of them were his betrothed wife who was with child. Now, so think about this for a minute. When you think about the awe or the wonder of Christmas, and I know you know everything I'm about to tell you, but you know, God predicted it all, didn't he? I mean, he foretold all of it. It's unbelievable. I mean, we should be in awe and wonder. You know, God told in his word, he thousands of years before, number one, my son is going to be born a Jew. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. He's going to be from the tribe of Judah. And that's in, I think, Genesis 49, right in that area, okay? He's not only going to be from the tribe of Judah, but he is going to be of the lineage. He's going to come from the line of David, the king of Israel, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and following in there, okay? Unbelievable. Not only did God tell us that, he told us also something else. Was Jesus going to be born the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Was he going to be born of the virgin? Yes, Isaiah 7:14. Let me read it to you. Therefore, the Lord himself, God is speaking to Ahaz, okay? He says, I'll give you a sign. He gives a sign to Ahaz, but the sign becomes a prediction, okay? Behold, the virgin, a specific virgin, and that's Mary, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. So he was born a virgin. God prophesied, predicted that. But he was also going to be born in only one specific city. And he was born in Bethlehem. And Micah 5:2, he prophesied that. Let me read it to you. He says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah," so just a tiny little city out of all the cities of the earth, "yet out of you shall come forth," God says, "to me," meaning to me to do my will, "the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting to everlasting." Now that is speaking of the pre-existent Son of God, or Christ. God, Jesus has always been. Amen? Amen. Now, so the exact day of Jesus' birth, that's not really important, okay? I mean, you can study and try to figure it out and all that, but I can tell you this, the place where Jesus was born is vitally important, okay? It's so, so important. And so when, here's the deal, when Micah penned Micah 5:2, the southern kingdom of Judah was now being taken into Babylonian captivity. That means all the line of David. Now, so here you have, 800 years now pass, and there's no lineage of David in Bethlehem. I mean, all those years are so forth. But there are two people that are of the line of David, and they have to get there because God's word prophesied it. Amen? Amazing. That's just amazing. So the living bread, Jesus said, "I'm the living bread that gives life to the world." He has to be born in Bethlehem, loved one, which is Bethlehem is what? The house of bread. Thank you. The house of bread. And so that tells me something. God rules, doesn't he? Yes. No, it really, history really is his story. He's in control. He's not out of control. He's not going, "I don't know what we're going to do." He knows everything that's happening. No, the Lord knows all. Listen, nothing happens by chance. Caesar didn't do what he did because he thought it was a great idea. I can assure you that God is the one behind all of that, okay? And why? Because the Bible says that God turns the heart of the king any way he wants to. Proverbs, 21:1 or something like that. I can't remember all of them, all right? You know, but he can turn the heart of the king any way that he wants to. And so God used Caesar. Caesar didn't use God, all right, to bring that couple to Bethlehem. Why? Well, let God tell you why. Isaiah 55:11. So God says, "So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word. He's in control then. He's in control right now. You can trust God's word next year. God's word, he never fails. Amen. Look at verse 6 now. "And so it was that while they were there," meaning in Bethlehem, "the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths," or literally pieces of cloth, "and laid him in a manger." Remember, a manger is a stone feed trough for animals, okay? "And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The truth is, Jesus was born to die. The only room that has any place for Jesus after he was born, loved one, is going to be the cross, isn't it? Yes, he did that. You know, loved one, in 10 days, this year is going to be over. And you know, I encourage you, and I know you will, make room for Jesus every day in your home, with your children, with your marriage, in your workplace. Put him first, amen? Yes. Christmas, though, is that time of wonder for kids. You know, I encourage parents to do something that I did. And I'm not, you don't have to do it, of course. I'm just telling you what I did. Before we opened any presents on Christmas, I would open the Bible. Thomas couldn't open anything, we sit there. Matter of fact, we would sit in this on the same couch that this church started in, there in my home, right there in that living room. And we would read the story here in Luke chapter 2, and I would tell my son, and I tell you to do the same, "Mom, Dad, tell your kids the true meaning of Christmas. Tell your children why Jesus was born, why he came into this world. Tell him what the angels, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, tell them what they said. Now, let me read it to you. Look right there in verse 9. And behold, it says, and an angel of the Lord stood before them, meaning the shepherds. And it says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, oh, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good news. Praise the Lord. Of great joy, which will be to all of one people, everyone on this planet. Praise God. And what is that good news and great joy? For there is born to you this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I am so thankful that we're saved. Amen. That Jesus is our Lord. That we've come to worship him every time we gather together. You know, when you think about, for example, being Jesus is our Savior. You know, and John the Apostle, he said this in 1 John 4:14. He says, oh, the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, came into this world. This is a dark world. Did you know that? Dominated by darkness and Satan and all the rest of it. He says he came into the world to save sinners. What did Jesus say in Luke 19:10? For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. What have we been saved from? Sin. Sin. Remember when the angel spoke unto Joseph in a dream? And it says, oh, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. And it said, the child that she is carrying, he says, oh, Joseph, listen, you're going to call his name, Matthew 1:21, you're going to call his name Jesus, and he is going to save his people from their sins. I thank God that what has separated us from God has now been wiped away. Amen. He looks at us, we're his children. He's with us right this very minute. Now look what happened with the angel. He continues in verse 12. And it says, and he's talking to the shepherds, and they say, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a feed trough or a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. All these angels are descending and praising the Lord and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. And they, meaning the shepherds, they came in haste and they found, that word found is a bad translation. They found, yes, but they were actually searching. They were searching through that area. And it says they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying and that was told them concerning this child. And all those that heard it, what's that word? Marvel. They were in awe. They were in wonder of this, at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had seen and that it was told to them. So now we're going to go now to the sermon, in a way. From the shepherds to the Magi, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. All right? Follow along with me, please. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now watch. This is very, very important. I don't want you to miss this part. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, the wise men that came from the east, these men are so wise. That's why we call them the wise men. They are intelligent, and they excelled in the study of science and math and astronomy. They probably came from Persia or maybe Iraq, Iran, in that area, Babylon, all of that area, and they came. And we know as they were coming, I mean, they were the three kings, remember? The three kings, and they were all riding on those camels and so forth, and as they traveled, they were probably singing that great song, you know, we three kings of Orient are, star of wonders. Remember that? And then, not only that, we even know their names. Remember, there's Caspar, there's Melchior, and there's Belshazzar. And they were about to visit the baby Jesus. Is any of that true? None of that is true. Now, some of you go, what? It's not true. Where do you find that at? You see it in TV and you see it on Christmas. You heard, come on. No, we don't know who they were. We don't have any names. Three kings? How do you know there wasn't 20 kings? But there's three kings back there. I'm telling you, you got to be careful in that main lobby. I didn't do it. No, listen. You say, all that's false. Now, some of you are going, you're trying to ruin my Christmas, Bill. No, I'm not. And they're going, the next thing you're going to tell me that Jesus wasn't born December 25th. Now, go to verse 2. Now, look what the wise men were saying. And that word saying there means they were continuously, as they went through the city, they were questioning everyone that they met. And here's what they were saying. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? And here's the reason. For we've seen not a star, we have seen his star in the east, and look why they have come. They have come to worship him. Now listen, the star, his star, an incredible prophecy from Balaam. Remember Balaam? He prophesied that. In that event, whenever the star appeared, that meant that he prophesied that 1,500 years earlier. From Numbers 24:17, and here's what it says. He prophesied, "Oh, a star shall come out of Jacob," meaning Israel. "A scepter shall rise out of Israel," meaning a king. So listen, they were following the star, not any star, his star, okay? Amazing. And literally, you could probably say it this way, no one else saw the star but the wise men, okay? And so... as they were searching through and questioning everyone, they couldn't get a response from anybody. The city was, we don't know what you're talking about. But look at verse 3. When Herod the king, when he heard about this, watch what happened. Oh, when Herod the king heard this, he was terrified. Not just troubled, terrified. And all of Jerusalem with him. So that's the exact opposite of the wise men, okay? And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests, all the scribes of the people together, he literally, the word is demanded, not inquired. He demanded of them where the Christ was to be born. And look what happened. So they said to him immediately. They didn't use AI. They didn't contact Google. They didn't say, hey, Siri. Do you understand? They didn't have to look anything up. They knew immediately. He said, and they're going to quote Micah 5:2. And they said, oh, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it's written by the prophet. Remember, Micah 5:2, it's written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly, no one knew about it, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared to them. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And look what Herod said to him. He said, now listen, go and search carefully or precisely for the young child, not the babe, the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me and look at the reason that I may come and bow down before him, that I may come and humble myself before him, that I may come and worship him also. Was that true? No, I can assure you that Herod is still regretting that lie. Amen? Man. So here's what I want you to see here. You're talking about people that are awe and wonder. I mean, it is amazing to me that Herod, the scribes, they knew the word of God, all that. They were 5 miles away from Bethlehem. That's like driving from right here to Watauga. Do you live in Watauga? I'm sorry. No. I'm teasing. Merry Christmas. No, I mean, they're 5 miles away from the king. Do you understand? I mean, it just blows me away. They're 5 miles away from where Christ is right now in Bethlehem. And I always wonder, I said, why didn't Herod and all his scribes and so forth, why didn't they say, we're going with the wise men? I mean, wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, I would. And yet here, these pagans, these wise men, but they were Gentiles, loved one. They were hungrier for God than God's own people. Don't let that never be said about us. Amen? No. And so here, and when they heard the king, look what the wise men did. They departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, it went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Over what? Their joy came because of one person, Jesus Christ. Amen? One person. Now listen, that Jesus is the only reason for Christmas. Amen? That's what, I mean, there's the world's Christmas does not make me rejoice. The world's Christmas cost you. Amen? Yeah, no, man, listen. So here the king has come. They are, man, they're in awe and wonder. But here's what I want you to see. You know, the star is a sermon all by itself, okay? And so we don't have time to really get into that and how the wise men got all that information. Now, but here I want you to look at the star, the awe, the wonder of Christmas, and watch this, the way the star did, what it did. First, number one, the star went before them, before the wise men. The next thing the star did, the star stopped. The third thing, the star stood right where Jesus was. And when they had come into the inn and saw the manger, oh, I'm sorry. That's what half the world believes. No. Where did they come into? The house. Not a manger. Not an inn. When they had come into the house, they saw the what? It doesn't say babe. It's young child. Different, a totally different word in the Greek. Okay? So Jesus now was close to 2 years of age, and he was there with Mary, his mother. So the star led the Magi to the house. Not the manger. Now, why? I want you to think of this. The Magi were the top of the ladder. They were educated. They were highly respected people. They were travelers. They studied the sciences and, the math and the stars and all of that. And so they were sophisticated. The shepherds, loved ones, shepherds back then, they were the outcast of Israel. They were at night, they took care of the lambs that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. They were considered unclean. They are at the very bottom of the ladder. Why did the Lord give such a contrast about his birth? Jesus came for those that have nothing and for those who have everything, meaning he came for everybody. Amen? And that's what the birth of Christ is so important. And look what they did when they entered the house. It says they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, plural, they presented gifts, plural, to him, costly gifts. Gold, that speaks of his deity. Frankincense, that speaks of his priesthood. And then myrrh. You know, remember we did a study on myrrh, I believe, in the book of Revelation when we were teaching. And remember, myrrh, to get myrrh, you have to make an incision in the tree. The resin comes out, then the resin hardens. And in order for the fragrance to come forth, that resin has to be crushed. Jesus was crushed and bruised for us, wasn't he? beaten for us. And so then the fragrances come forth. See, myrrh is used to embalm, all right? That's that whenever Nicodemus and them and Josephus or what his name was put Jesus in the tomb. Remember, they did the embalming with myrrh? So this speaks of his death. Jesus was born to die. And then in verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You know the story, verses, what is it, 16 in Matthew there through 18 about Herod. When he found out that the wise men deceived him, although they didn't deceive him, they obeyed God, amen? They went back another way. You know, when you follow Jesus, he'll always send you in a different direction, amen? Amen. And so what did Herod do? He went crazy. There he massacred, he murdered all of the children, I'm sorry, all of the male children, 2 years and under, not only in Bethlehem, but all of the surrounding districts. So little innocent children became the first martyrs, if you will, in the birth of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Herod was a wicked, wicked man. Caesar said about Herod, he said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be his own, than to be Herod's son, because Herod murdered his son, murdered his, how many of his wives? He was a ruthless, bloodthirsty man, okay? Now, but with all of that being said, I want you to look at the Magi just for a moment. I mean, you're talking about the wonder and the awe of Christmas. What kind of faith did they have? I mean, loved one, I mean, when you look at that, they believed in the Christ child. Had they ever seen him? No. When they arrived in the house, was it a palace? No. Did he have a crown? No. Loved one, listen, and yet they believed, they trusted. All they had was the message of the star. We have 66 books of the Bible. We have more evidence than they had completely, amen? But they believed. And what did they do? They opened their treasures. They gave gifts to Jesus. So the Magi, they traveled at least 1,000 miles. They gave not only their time, but they gave of their treasures as well. You know, I think as we approach Christmas and then we approach the end of this year, all of us have to look into our hearts and we have to say, what will you give Jesus this Christmas and next year? I mean, what will you give him? What gift will you give him? Because everything we have belongs to him. Think about that. You know, what kind of a gift can you give to the one who was born to go to the cross and suffer for you? In other words, to die for you and as you on the cross. The one that bore all of your sin, bore all the sin debt of the world. The one who came to die so you would not go to hell, but go to heaven. Amen? The one who tasted death for every person on this planet. It says in Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death. Jesus tasted it for every person. One, what do you give to the one who has rescued us from the power of darkness, especially hell? My Lord, what do you give to him? I mean, should we? Why so many Christians live for the world today? This world is passing away, loved one. So many Christians, I'm not saying many, I don't know how many, but I know that some, they live for what they can get out of the world. Listen, we're not of this world. Amen. We have already overcome this world because we're in the one who has overcome it. I don't want anything this world has. Because you know what Paul said? He said, all things are already yours because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's going to always take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to lead us and guide us. I mean, what can we give him? How about just raising godly children? Amen. How about having a godly marriage? How about just loving him with all your heart? How about giving thanks to him every day? How about having a true prayer time and a true Bible study time on your own? Amen. How about glorifying him in your job and or in your school? Whatever you do, how about just loving people? You know, what do you do? How can you give a gift to someone who not only died for you, but when you believed in him, he gave you eternal life, everlasting life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, meaning eternal life, life, and have it more abundantly. What do you give to the one? How about Romans 12:1, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, run by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable or logical worship or service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, a living sacrifice. Jesus, God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live for him. Amen? Yes. To live for the Lord. How about this one? Jesus said in John 10, I think 27, he says, my sheep, are we his sheep?
Yes.
Amen. Three of us, come on. My sheep hear my voice. We hear the voice of the Lord. And I know them. I have a relationship with them. And then here comes the one. Here's a gift that we should give him. And my sheep, they follow me. Are you following the Lord? Oh, what a gift we give to the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus, what a gift. Amen. Loved one, listen. Jesus is the gift of all gifts. Amen. Remember what Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 9:15? Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift, meaning Christ Jesus. Indescribable. Remember that word? It means you don't have enough words to explain it. Matter of fact, words won't even explain it. Jesus is the gift of all gifts. He is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Have you opened any of the gifts? Listen to the gifts that God has given unto you. Let me just read a few. It says in Acts 2:38, Peter was talking, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And here it comes. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The greatest prayer partner in the universe lives in you. You're sealed with the Spirit. Amen? It's a gift from God. You don't have to earn it. You say, okay, he got it. Praise the Lord, it's a gift. How about this one? Ephesians 2:8, talking about our salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. He says, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. He says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Man, thank God we're saved. It's all because of Jesus. How about this gift? Romans 6:23. What is this? Oh, I remember. The wages of sin is death. Now, that means eternal separation from God. Not physical death there, but eternal death. Separated from God forever and ever. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have all of that. How can we not give him thanks? Man, gifts are supposed to be opened. And you know what? Jesus is a gift. He is the gift. You know, Jesus gave everything. When he was born, he took the lowest place. Bond servant. The lowest place on the social ladder. It means slave, not man's slave, but God's slave, his father. He took the lowest place. What can we give him? What should we give him? Well, I know one thing. We can certainly be like the wise men. They came and they fell down and they worshiped him. And I tell you that Jesus deserves all of our worship. He deserves all of our love. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never relax his hold upon you. God has engraved you on the very palm of his hand. They fell down in worship. What a great thing to do, not only on Christmas, but every day of your life. Amen? Let me say something about worship, meaning you can do it with your family or in your quiet time. But I can tell you this much, the quality of our worship, the quality of your worship, my worship, it is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15:18. He said, 15:8, I'm sorry, these people draw near to me, meaning the Jews, these people draw near to me, but they do it with their mouth. And they honor me with their lips, but their heart is so far from me. It's far from me. You know, at Christmas, we decorate, we do this, we do this. It's easy to talk about Jesus at Christmas, isn't it? But loved one, listen, if it's only with our lips, we're in a problem. You know, what if Jesus came up to us and said to this church here, what if he said, you know what? You guys just talk about me all the time at Christmas. Thank you. That's what you do. You even send Christmas cards about me, joy to the world, Christ is born, all that. Thank you. You know what I mean? You even sing carols about me. But you know what? You got a problem. Your hearts are so far from me. I don't want that to be said about me. Do you want that said about you from the lips of our Savior? No, loved one, listen. Here is the gift. You want to give Jesus a gift? Here it comes. Let the words of your mouth be equal to what's in your heart about him. Amen? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. He deserves more than just lip service, doesn't he? Oh, man, he deserves it all. So, you know, listen, Jesus, there's no room in the inn for Jesus, but I can tell you that there's room for everyone in the world for Jesus. You know, there was a man who was a ruler of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night and talked with him. And do you know what Jesus said to that man called Nicodemus? He said, he gave Nicodemus, loved one, the greatest Christmas scripture, the greatest Christmas promise, and the greatest Christmas revelation ever given to any man. And that's John 3:16. Jesus looked into the eyes of Nicodemus and he said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Think about that, what he did. But you know what Jesus did not, his first coming? Do you know what Jesus did not come to do? Let me give you the scripture, John 3:17. When he said this, "For God," he was talking to Nicodemus, he was talking to us. He says, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's why Jesus came, that the world through him might be saved. That's the heart of the living God. And he says, "And whoever believes upon me is not judged, is not condemned." And then he goes on and he says this, "But men loved darkness." They loved darkness. When I was lost, I didn't know I loved darkness. I mean, if someone had told me that, as a young gentleman as I was, they might got punched. I don't know. I didn't know that the devil had influence over my life. I didn't know that before I was saved. But after I was saved, I knew it. Oh, man, listen. Jesus, the light has come. That's why we celebrate. That's why you're going to celebrate on the 25th, or maybe the 24th of Christmas Eve, whatever day you choose. But we are all celebrating Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. That's the awe, that's the wonder of Christmas, is that the light has come. Amen? And here's what's wonderful. Jesus is mankind's only way back to God. Every lost person, if you're here, you don't know Jesus, listen to me now. There's no other way back to God but Jesus. No way. There's no other religion on earth can get you home. No other religion on earth can save you, because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person. His name is Jesus. There is no name in any religion, no name anywhere in this world that can save you and make you a new creation and cleanse you of all your sin, past, present, future, and give you life. But one man. Only one name, Acts 4:12. Only one name under heaven by which a man can be saved. And his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get home to heaven. Only one way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus is your ticket home. Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Jesus paid the sin debt of the world. Amen? So, boy, if you don't know the Lord, I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, if maybe this is Christmas, and I know maybe you're here and you were invited or whatnot. I don't know. Maybe everyone here is saved. I don't know. But if you're not, do you know that you can be changed right in your chair? You don't have to get out of your chair. You just have to believe in your heart. You have to confess with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And then you have to believe that in your heart. And if you will, God says, I'll save you. Heaven will be your home. Your sins will be completely forgiven and forgotten, the Bible says. And you will become a child of the living God. You'll have a new direction in your life. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around, and every Christian praying right now, because this is why Jesus came, to save us. If you don't know the Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you know, I'm not talking about, well, I'm getting ready to be a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Calvary Chapel. No, no, no. This is about you and God accepting Christ as your Lord. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, you can do it right now. Again, you don't have to get out of your chair, but you do have to do one thing. Just lift your hand up and put it right back down, and we're going to pray. Anyone here say, Bill, Jesus Christ is not my Lord. I'm really not saved. I even may act like I'm a Christian, say I'm a Christian, but I don't live like a Christian. Anyone at all? I'm going to close if I don't see a hand. Anyone at all before I close? Well, Father, I don't see any hands, so I'm assuming that everyone here knows you and everyone here is saved this morning. So, Father, I give you praise for that. And if you're listening live right now and you say, Bill, I want to be saved, then here's what you do. You ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. You confess that with your mouth. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And if you believe that and confess him, God said, I will save you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Christmas season. We thank you, Lord, that we remember the birth of Christ. Lord, how good you are. We love you. We praise you. And Father, I pray now over all those that are listening live and all those who are here. Lord, please, if they travel, I pray they are kept safe all the way there, all the way back. Let there be a great time of love and communion with their relatives or their friends. Let it be a wonderful time. And then again, Lord, bring them home. So, Lord, we bless you. We remember this Christmas, all that you've done for us. In the greatest name in the universe, we pray in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?